we continue with our biblical definition of manhood. We're moving to part two, and we're building upon what we've already talked about, and that being the differences between Adam and Christ. The first Adam fell into passivity. The second Adam, Christ, rejected passivity. He left heaven, took upon flesh, lived a perfect life, and then ultimately died for our justification, was buried and rose again the third day, so that we could have new life. The first Adam disregarded his responsibility. The second Adam accepted responsibility. And he accepted responsibility for a will to obey. It says in John 4:34, it says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." He's got the mind of the psalmist when he said, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." And that was from Psalm 40, verse 8. And in Matthew 26:39, as he's dealing with what he's dealing with in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" So he has a will to obey, but he's also accepted responsibility for a work to do. We see this in John 17, verse 4. It says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." So as Jesus was nearing the end of his life on earth, he knew he had accomplished what God had wanted him to accomplish. And then lastly, he accepted responsibility for a woman to love. Now you may look at that and go, "What are you talking about, Jesus? This is not the Da Vinci Code." No, but listen to this. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So his bride is the church. And he gave up his life and he modeled what we as men should do, the responsibility that we as men should do. Well, secondly, what causes a man to accept social and spiritual responsibility? When it is clear from a young age that the primary responsibility for the social, spiritual well-being of others, namely wife, children, family, rests on him. When he has been trained from an early age by the men in his life to recognize and assume these responsibilities, when he is honored, especially by other men, for accepting these responsibilities. Basically, we need to cheer for each other. We need to be in each other's corner, have each other's back. And when he has been spiritually transformed in the heart by Jesus Christ to desire these responsibilities in order to honor God. So these are the steps that a brave, courageous man takes, an authentic man. The first Adam abandoned his post of leadership. The second Adam chose to lead courageously. Men were created to lead, but it takes courage. You see, Jesus led where Adam didn't. He set direction. So basically, where are you going? What's the direction you're going? And he provided protection. He was the good shepherd. He said, "I am the good shepherd." And then lastly, he made provision. Ephesians 5 talks about how he provided for his bride. So grateful for him being that way. To be a courageous leader, every man must master one significant obstacle, and that is feelings. When you're saying things like, "I don't feel like it," Proverbs 25 has a lot to say about that. Proverbs 25:28 says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So that's an obstacle if a man is always bound by his feelings. You see, the first Adam sought a greater reward. The second Adam expected a greater reward, God's reward. Proverbs 24:20 talks about the evil man has no future, the lamp of the wicked will be put out. And so it is good to know that we are people that look to that second Adam, because he's looking to a greater reward, and we have to have his eyes as opposed to our typical eyes. And then examples of the second Adam living, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, therefore, this is Jesus, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have that. Psalm 27:13 says this, and this is David saying, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Moses, Hebrews 11:24-26, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. And then Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then, we don't just have examples, but we have exhortations to second Adam living. We see this in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And then Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So what is a real man cut from? A biblical mode? A real man is one who rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, and expects the greater reward, God's reward. And so when you think about that, this has bearing on, if you were to fill out a questionnaire on the leadership for you, a leadership questionnaire for you, that would be in light of Adam and Christ. If you answer these questions, how would you rate yourself regarding leadership using the following scales? And 0 is I'm a passive, non-initiating person. All the way up to 10, I'm an active, initiating person. And 0, I rarely model biblical truth or desire to. Or 10, I regularly model biblical truth and desire to. And then you look at your leadership at home and with others. How would you rate taking responsibility for your life and family, if applicable, in the following areas? Handling money. Are you poor? Are you average? Are you excellent? Providing for yourself, your wife, and children materially. Are you poor? Are you average? Are you excellent? Providing for yourself, your wife, and children emotionally, spending time, speaking words of encouragement, affirmation, hugs, kisses, romance, etc. Poor, average, excellent. Giving spiritual direction and vision in the home. Poor, average, excellent. Modeling biblical values. Faith, purity, Bible study, prayer, self-control, moral convictions, poor, average, excellent. Honoring and esteeming your wife, ensuring she has equal value in your marriage, poor, average, excellent. In setting practical biblical standards, what you watch on TV, debt, giving, serving your church and community, use of alcohol, church attendance, stance against pornography, various social issues, poor, average, excellent. Protecting your wife and children against the future through insurance, a savings plan, an up-to-date will, legal guardians. Poor, average, excellent. These are all things to think about and deal with, because we want to line up with a biblical definition of manhood.